Robert, I love that song. It's by Paul McCartney, right?
Technically, it's by the group The Wings, the group McCartney created after the Beatles dissolved.
Oh. Well, I don't know much about the topic we're going to discuss, but I do think you picked a great song.
Well, thanks. So, what is the topic? Well, the title of this podcast is A Band on the Run, a turning point in the Korean War, the Battle of Chosin.
Oh, now I get it with the song title. Fantastic. I never heard of Chosen.
You're not the only one. Historians call this war the Forgotten War for a reason. Full disclosure, this podcast, like the ones I did on Roberto Clemente and Led Zeppelin, is more personal. My youngest son, Jameson, was deployed to South Korea for almost 10 months. Fortunately, the rest of our family got to visit him there last year. It was an awesome experience.
Very cool. Where are we going to start? Wait, let me guess. Historical context?
You read my mind. But before we outline the historical context, it is important to outline the questions we will be addressing in this podcast. In this first part, we will explore.
One, how does the historical context of Korea influence the future of the country? Two, what are the causes of the Korean War? And three, how close did the North Koreans come to almost winning the war?
Pay close attention to several key historical actors, including
One, Syngman Rhee. Two, Kim Il-sung. Three, Joseph Stalin. And four, General Douglas MacArthur.
Excellent. Since I tell my students the history of the study of history is the study of everything, let's address something that is easy to overlook about the history of Korea. There.
Food?
Oh, although I do highly recommend Korean barbecue, I
Yes.
was thinking geography. Can you describe Koreans' geography?
Well, thank you. You've got a map here for me to look at. I see Korea there bordering China to the north and Russia kind of to the northeast. Then it's surrounded by water on all around. Yellow Sea, the Sea of Japan, and then Japan is kind of on its other side. So you have major world players kind of all surrounding Korea.
It's kind of in a rock between a hard place. It's really not in the best place if you're really looking at it objectively. What we can't see in the map is that Korea is about the size of Great Britain, about 85,000 square miles. It is also only 1/15 the size of China and about half that of Japan. Another attribute that is missing on the map is that the northern part of the country is mountainous. The country also experiences extreme weather, from snow and frigid cold in the north to monsoons in the midsection and even the south. And at its widest point, Korea is only 150 miles wide. The saying,
Korea is like a minnow caught between two whales.
meaning China and Russia, captures the situation the country faced and continues to face for that matter. You can't add two more whales to the Seng, Japan and the United States.
So let me understand. This is the key to the Korean War, is the history of Korea itself?
Exactly. This will become even more obvious when we discuss the
historical context
of the country next. So there are three events that seem most important to understanding the historical context of Korea. One of those is the Hanwha Treaty of 1876 between the Kingdom of Chosin, Korea, and Japan. Using gunboat diplomacy, the Japanese forced Korean leadership to sign this one-sided treaty. The treaty benefited Japan's leadership in two ways. First, it shifted Korea to be more aligned with Japan instead of its historical neighbor, China. Two, it opened three Korean ports to Japanese trade. 21 years later, in 1897, Kim Jong-un of Korea began leasing natural resources to Russia, the United States, and, of course, Japan. In short, this treaty began the decline of Korean identity. The event that had a larger impact on Korea was the Russo-Japanese War, which took place between 1904 and 1905. After Japan's surprising defeat of the Russians, Korea became a protectorate of Japan, which effectively dethroned the king.
Sorry, didn't one of your favorite historical figures negotiate the treaty that ended the war?
You are correct. Teddy Roosevelt even won a Nobel Peace Prize for doing so. The Russo-Japanese War had major implications for Korea. Professor Ibre and Walthall outlined three stages that the Japanese used, or Japan used, to take total control over Korea. The third stage is most significant. During this stage, the Japanese limited Korean freedom by forcing Koreans to assimilate. Some examples of this include
embracing Japanese language over Korean language, worshiping the Japanese emperor, and adopting Japanese names.
Yeah, not surprisingly, this stage caused a backlash, best seen in the reaction of two important historical actors that had a profound impact on the Korean War. Kim Il-sung is one of these actors. He fought against the Japanese during their invasion of Manchuria from 1937 to 1940. Japan put a bounty of 200,000 yen on his head, which shows how important Kim was to the Japanese.
How do I get extra credit for determining how much that is in U.S. dollars?
Boy, you must be reading the minds of my students. They love extra credit. During World War II, Kim fought in the Soviet Union Army. While doing so, he became a true believer in the communist ideology of the day. The counterweight to Kim is Syngman Rhee. Syngman spent two decades in America, where he obtained a degree at both Harvard and Princeton. At Princeton, he earned a PhD in political science and even met the future president, Woodrow Wilson, who was the president of the college at the time.
Interesting. It's hard to imagine that the same country could produce such different people.
On the surface, you're right, but you will see some similarities a little bit later in the podcast. With these historical contexts, let's focus on what caused the Korean War. Without oversimplifying them, we can see two broad causes. They include:
one, mistakes or errors, and two, overconfidence, which more often than not snowballed into arrogance.
One can claim the first error was allowing Russia or the Russian government to claim Korea north of the 38th parallel. This was done because the United States government thought that they would need Russian help to defeat Japan. What the U.S. could not have known was how effective the two atomic bombs would be on ending the war. One of these was dropped on Hiroshima on August 6th and the other on Nagasaki on August 9th. On September 2nd of that year, World War II was over, but by this time, the Russian troops already occupied North Korea.
So this wasn't really a cause, but more of a consequence of World War II.
Exactly. Another cause often cited is that on January 12, 1950, Dean Acheson, the Secretary of State, in his speech,
Crisis in Asia, an Examination of U.S. Policy,
failed to mention Korea. According to this argument, Joseph Stalin, the leader of the Soviet Union, saw this as a signal that the United States was not interested in defending Korea. There is merit to this argument, however. It's hard to believe that Stalin ignored the many anti-communist policies that the U.S. deployed after the war, including
the Truman Doctrine, the Marshall Plan, and the Berlin Airlift,
just to mention a few. Of course, those events all took place in Europe. Closer to Korea, the U.S. was protecting Formosa, which is now Taiwan, and rebuilding Japan literally from the ground up. Even so, when Kim requested the support from Russia for reunification of Korea, Stalin told him to,
if you should get kicked in the teeth, I shall not lift a finger.
Stalin clearly had no interest in triggering World War III. A second cause was overconfidence, which frequently turned into arrogance. General Douglas MacArthur is a perfect example of this. Just before the war began, he said about the In Min Jin, that's the North Korean army, that the ROC, or South Korean army, could defeat their enemy.
With one hand tied behind their back.
Yeah, with over 70 years of hindsight, the number of errors made by both sides is staggering. Of course, this is one of the elements I love about the study of history.
It's complex.
Yes, and often messy.
Before we go on, can I summarize what I think you're suggesting?
Sure.
Basically, there's no simple cause of the Korean War.
Well, I will say there is one general cause, which is neither side believed capitalism and communism were compatible.
When you think about it, so many people believe this more than 70 years after the war.
Yeah, agree. Mm-hmm. Even though the causes are subjective, the beginnings of the war is not. It is true that Syngman of the South Korean government and Kim of the North Korean government had launched small-scale attacks across the 38th parallel before June of 1950. It was on June 25th, 1950, at 4 a.m. that Kim unveiled his goal to reunify Korea. With approximately 90,000 experienced soldiers, the In Min Jin, again, the North Korean army, began the war. The In Min Jin, with plenty of Soviet equipment, attacked seven locations on this day by land and sea. The success of these attacks only fueled Kim's overconfidence and eventually arrogance that Korea would soon be under his leadership. On the American side, things were going from bad to worse. As already mentioned, General MacArthur recently told the Joint Chiefs of Staff and President Truman, his bosses, that the ROK, or ROC, could easily defeat the North Korean forces. The reality was that in only 2 days, the capital of South Korea, Seoul, 60 miles from the 38th parallel, was in the hands of Kim. According to historian David Halberstam, this was one of the few times in American history where the State Department was telling the CO, General MacArthur, what was happening in his backyard. 2 days after the attack, the general's mood changed from overconfidence to lack of confidence. MacArthur told officials in Washington, D.C.,
all of Korea is lost.
This bipolar attitude by MacArthur continued to plague him throughout the conflict. Still, MacArthur requested American troops to be deployed to Korea. President Truman obtained approval from the United Nations. Ironically, Russia was boycotting the UN at this time, allowing the U.S. to guide UN policy. Halberstam also points out that Mac, or MacArthur, was not the only one that failed to see this attack coming. The U.S. suffered from what Halberstam terms the illusion of the atomic weapon, meaning that the weapon was such a deterrent that no country would start a war with a country that had it. It could be argued that the opposite was true. Could the United States justify its use in a conflict like Korea?
Excellent point. I never thought of it this way.
Looking at a second map, it is clear how close Kim came to winning the war. Can you describe what you see on this map of Korea and what is known as the Pusan perimeter?
Sure. Well, I see Korea, and then you've got all of these red arrows kind of pushing down, which I'm guessing are Kim's troops or Kim's forces. And then there's one kind of tiny blue blob on the southeast corner, which based on how you described, I'm guessing that is what that's where the American forces maybe had been pushed to.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. Like the American forces and the UN, I use those interchangeably as well. Mm. But yes, there's not much space on the South Korea left for them. If the invasion of South Korea is the start of the war, the Pusan perimeter, the end of Kim's dream of reunification. Here, the call went out to
hold your positions at all costs,
which is exactly what the UN forces did under the command of General Johnny Walker, who held his line for some 6 weeks. A third turning point was nowhere near the Pusan perimeter. It was in Incheon, only 20 miles from Seoul, on the west side of the country.
Looking at the map, it seems crazy that someone would try it.
Many historians and even military leaders felt the same way you do. The planner of this of Incheon said,
Incheon is not impossible. Hardly a strong vote of confidence.
Yeah, interestingly enough, those executing this amphibious landing, the Marines, didn't participate in the planning of this event. More telling was that China informed Kim this was likely to happen, but due to his overconfidence turned to arrogance, he ignored this information. In the end, the failure of the North Korean army was based upon seeds of their success. They advanced so quickly that they overextended their supply lines, which ultimately gave the United States, or UN, forces the ability to turn
defeat into victory.
Not quite. It did allow General MacArthur the opportunity to pull a spectacular magic trick out of his famous corn cob pipe.
Oh, tell me more.
Okay. Before I do, let's briefly review the questions we asked in part one.
Okay. So one, how does the historical context of Korea influence the future of the country? Two, what are the causes of the Korean War? And three, how close did the North Koreans come to almost winning the war?
Okay, we're on to part two.
Yep.